January the 28th, Wednesday evening, prophecies. If you would turn to John the 12th chapter. John the 12th chapter, we're going to look at verses 12 through 16. We started each class with looking at how the disciples and the apostles just weren't sure as far as in their understanding. And so, in John the 12th chapter and verse 12, on the next day the great multitude who had come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began to cry out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming seated on a donkey's colt." These things his disciples did not understand at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things to him. Again, as we've always discussed, place yourself in the Jews' position and the others at that time. They did not fully understand the Old Testament scriptures and what they were looking at and what was happening and coming about. And here's another example here of when Jesus was glorified after his death. Then they realized, well, this is what the scriptures were talking about and so forth. So on that. We were looking at Jehovah last week is going to send a messenger to clear or prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah, the Anointed One. And so we were going to look at, started looking at Malachi, the third chapter. And basically Malachi is just a small little book, four chapters. But in summing it all up, what was the theme behind Malachi? What can you say that Malachi was trying to stress upon his fellow people at the end of that era, before the New Testament? What was it that Malachi was trying to stress? They were in a gloomy position. Things weren't just the best for Israel. But what was he trying to convey to them? Okay, his word wouldn't be there, but that even though things were gloomy and things were bad and they didn't have their nation back again like they wanted and so forth, and they were under occupation or whatever, that there was going to be a change. The Lord was going to send salvation to them. Okay, this was the promise that God, that Jehovah had made to them, is salvation is going to come to Zion, to Jerusalem. Okay, it's going to come to the nation. Okay, now that salvation may not have been what they were looking for. They may have been looking again, their thought as far as been looking for salvation to come that would promote them back to where they were a nation, have a king, and have their territory back again and wouldn't be under dominance to another political party or whatever. Either the Romans and no other Babylonians, nobody else. They would be like they were. And that's what they were looking for. In the third chapter of Malachi, verse 1, Jehovah through Malachi says, "Behold, I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." So Malachi is telling them that there's going to be a time coming. Now we know that how many years was between the Testaments? 400, at least 400. 400 years in there. So I mean, this is a long wait. Okay? But still, the promise of God was sure it was going to happen. And he is telling them that he's going to send a messenger to clear the way before the Messiah comes. Okay? When you look at Isaiah, the 40th chapter, Isaiah basically told them the same thing in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 5. He says, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." So there's going to be a messenger coming. A voice was going to be calling, clearing the way in this. So that is going to be the first sign that you look for before the coming of Messiah. Before the Messiah comes, before the Anointed One comes, God says, "I'm sending a messenger to clear the way." To clear the way or to prepare the way for the message and for the messenger. Okay? So, that's what they're looking at. That's what they're looking for. Now, 400 years later. Now, they don't have the writings that we do in the New Testament. Okay? So a lot of this, bear in mind, had to go by word of mouth. When the angel came and spoke to Zacharias, that wasn't published for everybody to read. Okay? As we'd already looked at some of the New Testament passages and the books in the New Testament, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, weren't wrote until 80 to 90 A.D. So that was quite a ways after. So all this is being relayed via verbal communication and being passed about by others and being told by others. Okay? So there was a statement that John's father made in Luke, the first chapter. That Zacharias made in Luke, the first chapter. And after John was born, what happened to Zacharias before John was born? He couldn't talk. Okay? The angel had shut him up until what point in time? Okay, as soon as they said, "What do we name the child?" And they wanted to name him something else. And she said, "No, we're going to name him John." And they said, "You don't have anybody in your family named that. So, you know, what are you going to name him?" And so she gave to Zacharias, and he had a writing pad, and he wrote down what the name was to be called. That was under the direction of who? By the angel. Okay? As far as the naming of John. So his name's going to be John. So when he does that, his mouth is opened. He is loosed to speak. And he's being filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 67, and he prophesies. And as we mentioned before, what is prophesying? It's a foretelling, a declaration of what? A purpose of who? A purpose of Jehovah, a purpose of God, a foretelling, a forethought of God that's going to happen. And so, he does that in verse 76. Here's what he says about the child that's just been born. "And you, child, will be called what? The prophet of the Most High." What will he do? Even the description of his work is presented here. "For you will go before" who? "You will go before the Lord to prepare His way." So right here, it's been told to Zacharias, and it's been mentioned to others, what the purpose is going to be of John. He's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. Okay? You have the statement also in the third chapter, as Luke penned this in the third chapter, starting at verse 2. "And in the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every ravine shall be filled up, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough road smooth, and all the flesh shall see the salvation of God.'" Here you have Luke's statement concerning John the baptizer as far as what his mission was going to be. The word came to him. And it says, "as it is written in the book," the words of Isaiah. So when it says, "as it is written," what is that meaning? The fulfillment is taking place in John. okay, concerning being the forerunner. You have Matthew's account in the third chapter. Matthew, the third chapter, verses 1 through 4. Now in those days, John the Baptizer came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet. What's Matthew saying? This is the one that Isaiah was talking about. This is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt about his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Matthew says, this is the one. Now who primarily did Matthew write toward? The Jews. Most of his gospel of Matthew, his writings, deals with the fulfillment of the prophecies to show his brethren, the Jews, to show the Jews that the fulfillments had happened, that they had taken place. So he even alludes to it, that this John he's talking about is the one that is the forerunner of the Messiah. When you look at Mark, the first chapter, Mark, the first chapter, verses 1 through 4. Mark starts out and says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Or as you have been trying to get used to, "In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus, the Messiah." Jesus, the Anointed One, the Son of God. "And it is written in Isaiah the prophet, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins." Mark acknowledges John was the forerunner, the one that Old Testament had talked about coming to make ready the way for the Messiah. John, when you look at John's statements, John, the first chapter, looking at verses 6 through 8, "There came a man sent from who? Sent from God, whose name was John. He came for what purpose? For a witness, that he might bear witness of what? The light." Who was the light that was to come? Okay, the Messiah. He was to bear light of the Messiah that was to come, the light that was to come. Now, who was that light, that Messiah? It was Jesus, okay? He came for a witness that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. All might believe through who? Through John. He came to bear witness that all might believe through him. He's bearing witness. Believe through John, that they might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. Okay? Look over at verse 22. This was where the witness of John and the priests were asking him who he was. "And they said to him, Who are you, so that we may give an answer to those who sent us?" The Jews had sent to John saying, "Who are you? What's your function? What's your purpose?" And they said, "You tell us, so that we can go back and tell them who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And in verse 23, what did John declare? He said what? John the Baptizer said what? "I am what? He said, "I am that one, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said." So he is even telling them and declaring unto them what? That he was the forerunner. Okay? Remember, this is the first sign. If the forerunner hasn't come yet, then what? The Messiah hasn't come, and we're still waiting to look for who? The forerunner. And we'll look a little bit later on, really, in essence, we're looking for Elijah to come. We're looking for Elijah to come. Okay? Matthew, the 11th chapter. You have Jesus' statements himself concerning John. Matthew, the 11th chapter, starting at verse 7. As they were going away, Jesus began to speak to the multitude about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' palaces. But why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I say to you, and one who is more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Jesus even alludes to John and bears witness that John was the messenger before him. When you look at Luke, the 7th chapter, And the messengers, when the messengers of John had left in verse 24, he began to speak to the multitudes about John. And again, this is just a rendition of the same account. What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are splendidly clothed and live in luxury are found in royal palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before me. For I say unto you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Jesus' statements, his own statements that he's telling them. John was the one that was prophesied. He's fulfilling that. He is the one making the announcement, the one preparing the way for the Messiah to come. Okay? Now, when you go back to Malachi, Malachi the 3rd chapter and verse 1 told us what? There was one that was going to be coming. Correct? God was going to send someone. He's going to send a messenger. Malachi the 4th chapter, verses 4 through 6. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, and even the statutes and ordinances which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. What do we know about Elijah? Well, when Malachi is writing, where is Elijah? He's dead. Well, what's Malachi meaning here? When Jehovah is saying, Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet. How can that be? Elijah's dead. Is he going to resurrect him and bring him back? Any thought? What's he explaining here? When you read Malachi, the 4th chapter, verses 4 through 6, who are you going to be looking for?
Seems to be that one who presents what Elijah was, a prophet of God.
Okay. That's what we see. What did they see? They were going to be looking for who?
Elijah.
They were going to be looking for Elijah. Because it's even said, and we're going to read it here in just a little bit. How come the Jews, the Pharisees say, they're looking for Elijah? He's got to come first. They were looking for the actual physical who? Elijah to come. Now, when you read Malachi, and you didn't have all this before you, what would you think? Would you make the transition from a physical person over to figure of speech? What was so special about Elijah? What did Elijah do? Huh? What did Elijah do? Why does he say in Malachi, I'm going to send the prophet Elijah? What did Elijah do? What's some things that he did that was notable?
Those of Baal, the prophets of Baal.
Okay.
Resurrections.
Okay. He did. God worked with him in many miracles. What was it that Elisha said that he wanted before Elijah departed? Okay.
What he was.
Okay.
Double portion of what he is.
Double portion, because evidently what Elijah had done was pretty spectacular, right? And he said, I'd like to have a double portion. What else did Elijah do? He had the prophets of Baal. But what else did he do? During this time, what was he trying to get Israel to do when he was trying to get them away from Ahab and Jezebel?
To return to God.
To get them away from idolatry practices, to turn them back to Jehovah God. Okay? Where is the state that the Jews are in now? In the New Testament, in the beginning. Where's the state that they are in?
You want to get to the same state, you want to turn them back to God. So.
Okay. They're in the same state, aren't they? Are they right in relationship to God? To Jehovah? If they were right, why would it be said that you're teaching for the doctrine of men and not Jehovah? Your precepts and commandments are of men. How far had they transgressed and diverted off from following Jehovah? And in doing their own thing? Quite a bit, right? Is that idolatry? Okay, so there's going to be one coming like Elijah that's going to do what? What was the purpose of the of John?
To turn the hearts
back to the Lord. Okay, so again, that's the significance that we can see in looking at it, that in Malachi 4, 6 through 8, he's talking about it's not going to be actual Elijah, but it's going to be someone, a prophet like Elijah. Okay? How did the people feel about John? The Scripture really doesn't give a whole lot as far as what John did. But did he fulfill the role of Elijah? In the standpoint that he was well known as a prophet. When you look at Matthew, the 21st chapter. And the reason not a whole lot is given is because the emphasis is not on John. John was just going to bear witness of who? Of Jesus. So there's not a whole lot of the great things that John did. Okay? But in Matthew, the 21st chapter, when Jesus' authority was challenged in verse 23, Jesus said, I ask you one thing. If you tell me, I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. He says, the baptism of John, was it from what source? From heaven or from men? What dilemma did that put them in? They began reasoning among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he'll say, why didn't you not believe me then? Why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, what was their situation? Now this is a powerful group. This is a powerful group. The Jews, the Sanhedrin, the chief priests, the elders, the scribes. Trust me, they were the government of the Jews within Rome. They were very powerful. They could put you out of the synagogue. They could do all types of things to you. But yet, they are saying what? We do what? No matter how powerful they are, what were they doing? They said, we do what? They feared the people. Because why? For they all hold John to be what?
A prophet.
And he must have been one great prophet. Because even they were scared to upset the people. And that just wasn't... It didn't bother them to upset the people to crucify Jesus, did it? Okay? But they were scared. All held John to be a prophet. When you look at Mark, the 6th chapter, it didn't extend just to them. Mark the 6th chapter. We all familiar when Herodias and all of them got into complicity there to get rid of John. And in verse 20, how did Herod feel about John? Herod was afraid of John, knowing what? That he was a righteous and holy man and kept him safe. There was something about John that's not recorded as far as all his works that he did that showed that he was a great prophet and that all revered him. Okay? So, Malachi 4, 4 through 6 says, I'm going to be sending Elijah. Okay? John was the Elijah. He was the prophet like Elijah. He fulfilled that. Jesus's, when you go back to Matthew the 11th chapter, Jesus' statement on further down in the 11th chapter. In verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and violent men take it by force. He says, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you care to accept it, he himself is Elijah who was to come. Jesus himself declares, John, he told him, John was the Elijah that was to come. John is the fulfillment of Malachi 4, 6 through 8. Turn to the 17th chapter of Matthew. Starting at verse 10. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? What were they talking about? Before the Messiah come, the scribes and the Jews knew that who had to come first. They knew that Elijah had to come first before the Messiah came. Did they know their Old Testament passages? They sure did. Okay, his disciples ask him, he says, you know, ask him, why do they say? And Jesus replies in 11, and he answered and said, Elijah is coming and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah already came, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they wished. So also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. So also the Son of Man. So Elijah suffered, and so also the Son of Man. So in both places, Jesus said, John was Elijah. And even the Jews realized and knew that Elijah was to come. They just did not see it in who? They did not see it in John. Now remember, this is being passed all about by word of mouth. You know what Jesus said? You know what Jesus said? Jesus said John was Elijah. Now, CL, you're in that time frame. You have no other written record. All you can see is he came and saying, you know, they're saying that he's fulfilling what Isaiah said, one coming from the wilderness and so forth. And he's going to bear witness of the light. And he's the Elijah that came. So you're faced with two things. Based upon him being a great prophet and what you've seen and so forth or heard, you've got two choices. What are those two choices? Either accept it or
what the scripture said about the man, or you reject it.
You apply those scriptures and say it did meet that man or not. Now, we're going to have to take all of it because just not that alone. You could say, well, okay, maybe. Let's just see what else pans out in these prophecies. And then if they pan out, then okay, I'll accept it, John. Was the Elijah. Okay? This is the predicament they're in. Okay? They have to piece all this together. We have everything in our, you know, we can put it all together. Okay? John came before Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. Therefore, Jesus is the Elijah. He's the messenger. They didn't know that yet. Okay? Jesus hadn't died yet when he's telling them, John's come. John's the messenger. Jesus hadn't done all this other stuff yet for them to piece it all together. Okay? Mark the 9th chapter. Mark the 9th chapter, starting at verse 11. And they said, ask him, saying, this is Mark's account, why is it that the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And he said to them, Elijah does first come and restore all things. And yet how it is written of the Son of Man that he should suffer many things and be treated with contempt. But I say to you that Elijah has indeed come, and they did to him whatever they wished, just as it was written of him. When you look at verse 4, what had transpired right before then? What had transpired right before that?
Transfiguration.
Oh. Transfiguration. Okay, and who all was there?
Moses, Elijah, and Jesus.
Okay. Moses and Elijah, verse 4, Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus, and he was before these disciples, and they saw it. And what did God the Father say? They wanted to do a memorial for each one, but what did God say? This is my son.
Listen to him.
Then they bring up the question. They ask him, saying, why is it that the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Okay, so when you put it all together, they're there, they see it, they see Elijah, and then they're saying, well, you know, all of a sudden it's starting to dawn maybe a little bit upon them that we just saw Elijah. He's dead. And God the Father is saying, listen to Jesus, my son, listen to him, and he's here. Why is it then that the scribes and the Jews are saying that Elijah must come first? And then Jesus said Elijah did come. It was John. Okay, so he's still instructing them. Luke, the first chapter. Luke, the first chapter. Verses 13 through 17. And the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. For it is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The angel even qualified the work of John. Okay? And you get some insight in here. As far as verse 15, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Great works that all would fear and realize that he is a prophet. We're going to have to stop there. Any question or comment? Do you kind of see now how they had trouble piecing all this together? A little bit? Okay.